I've been speaking about some of the people who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, some who were Christ's disciples. Thought about Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was also a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And today I want to speak about Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 apostles that our Lord deliberately called to be those men who would be with him for his 3 years of public ministry. Judas Iscariot, who always comes in the final group of four disciples when their names are recorded in the scriptures. Judas, who is remembered as the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. What can we learn from the life of Judas Iscariot? Why was there a Judas Iscariot? It was prophesied that there would be such a betrayer. But why was that what God planned and purposed? I think you could argue that it wasn't in itself essential that's the way things would have worked out. Yet God so planned it that from among those 12 specially privileged men, it would be one of those men who would betray the Lord Jesus. No doubt, one of the reasons why that is the case is for our benefit. It's there as a warning to us. Also, surely it's there as part of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was not spared from suffering. And so it hurt Christ all the more that his betrayer was one of his own men. Judas Iscariot is someone that God wants us to know about. He wants us to consider. And he is a challenge to anyone who claims to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas Iscariot was a follower of Christ. And yet, it all ended up terribly. And he is someone whose story is indicated to us in the scriptures as a warning, lest we end up going down the same road that Judas Iscariot went down. Thinking of the life of Judas, I want you to recognize, first of all, that his life teaches us that spiritual privileges or spiritual blessings are not enough. Judas shows us what it is possible to do and have and be and yet not be a true disciple, a lasting disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the wonderful spiritual blessings and privileges that Judas had that so many others didn't have and don't have. Judas spent 3 years in the company, the constant company of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, living for 3 years in the company of God himself. That's an amazing thing to think about, to being in the presence of the Lord. That's the way it was for Judas. Day after day after day, for 3 whole years, he was there in the presence of the Son of God. Judas Iscariot heard the greatest sermons that have ever been preached. He heard the greatest prayers that have ever been offered up unto God. He witnessed the most amazing miracles that have taken place on the face of this earth. Miracles that testified clearly to who this man Jesus really was. And not only did Judas Iscariot hear these things, and see these things. But Judas Iscariot also did amazing things himself. Judas was with the other disciples when Jesus sent them out two by two. The apostles that were sent out, they performed wonders in the name of Christ. Judas was among those who cast out the evil spirits in the name of Jesus. Judas had all these blessings, wonderful blessings and privileges. He wasn't a man that stood out like a sore thumb among the apostles. Judas was a man who was trusted. They trusted him to be their treasurer. And when Jesus told them that it was one of them that was going to betray him, they didn't all turn around and look at Judas and think, oh, well, that'll be him. That wasn't the case. Judas blended in well with everyone else. He didn't come across as being a deficient disciple, one who wasn't the real thing. He had all these spiritual privileges and blessings. And yet, in the end of it all, he was lost. He was eternally lost. People thought Judas was the real thing. People thought Judas was one of those followers of Christ for life and for eternity, but he wasn't. And therefore, he is there as a challenge to any of us who profess that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. What have you seen and heard that is greater than what Judas saw and heard? What have you done that is greater than what Judas did? What truth do you know and understand and believe that's greater than what Judas knew and understood and believed? What reason do you have for believing that you are the real thing when Judas wasn't the real thing? Surely this man stands as a very real warning to us. Does he not almost force us to consider that if someone with all of those incredible privileges, someone who spent 3 years in the company of the very Son of God, if he can prove in the end to be false, well then how can any of us lightly assume that we are the real thing? Spiritual privileges are a great thing. And God has given us many spiritual privileges, many things in which he has been good to us in terms of what he has taught us, the people that he has put into our lives. But spiritual privileges are not enough. Judas Iscariot is also a warning to us and a lesson to us. He teaches us the lesson that we cannot serve two masters. Judas shows us the reality of what Jesus taught, that no man can serve two masters. Judas tried it. He had two great loves in his life. He loved Jesus, but he also loved money. And he wasn't able to keep the two going. There was a tug of war that went on within the heart of Judas, a tug of war that was tearing him inside out. And in the end, it was his love of money that won the day. No man can serve two masters, said Jesus. Now, there was evidence of that struggle that was going on within the heart of Judas before he actually came to his moment of betrayal. That incident at Bethany that is recorded, and the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, where Mary shows her great love for the Lord by pouring out her expensive perfume over the Lord Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair. The reaction of Judas is recorded in John 12. It says, Judas objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." And John says he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And the reaction of Judas to an act of loving devotion to the Lord Jesus indicated where the man's heart truly lay. There was no rejoicing in the heart of Judas. Judas didn't observe the woman and think, "My, how she loves Jesus. How good that is to see." But Judas loved money more than he loved Jesus. And his love of money would never have allowed him to do what that lady did. To him, it was a waste. It was a waste of valuable assets. And he cloaked his annoyance with a show. Pretending that the money could have been given to the poor. Well, Judas wasn't interested in the poor. It was poor Judas that he was interested in. And all he wanted to do was siphon off some of the money from the sale of that perfume, and he could have lined his own pockets with that. And he didn't have that opportunity because it was all poured out over the Lord Jesus. And Judas did not rejoice at that. And maybe that was the very thing that brought him to see where his great love actually lay. Judas made his choice. And in the end, he exchanged all of those great spiritual privileges he had for 30 pieces of silver, 30 silver coins. He did that on his own initiative. It was Judas that went looking for the opportunity to betray Jesus. He went to the chief priests and the scribes, and he asked the question, "What are you willing to give me if I betray him into your hands?" And they counted out the 30 pieces of silver. And Judas was willing to do it for 30 pieces of silver. In that moment, he loved those 30 pieces of silver more than he loved the Lord Jesus. And in the Gospel of Matthew, that act of betrayal comes straight after the anointing at Bethany. Judas has made his choice. Money is his master. And from now on, he would remain with the other disciples, but he would do so not to learn from Jesus, but to seize the opportunity to betray the Lord Jesus. Judas tried for a long time to serve two masters, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't keep it up. And Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Judas Iscariot couldn't do it. But we can't do it. We cannot serve two masters. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not your only master, the time will come when he will have to go. And your other master will prove to be the one who has your heart. Other masters will prove to offer more in the short term than Jesus offers. Their treasure will be more appealing if we try to serve two masters. That's how it was for Judas. In that moment, the 30 pieces of silver meant more to him than Jesus meant to him. And it may not be money that is our master. It may be something else. It may be reputation, maybe what people think of us. It may be achievements in life that are our master. But if we try to serve two masters, serve that other thing and serve Christ, sooner or later, in our own way and in our own time, we will go to our chief priests and we'll say to them, if I abandon Jesus, what's in it for me? That's how it worked with Judas. He tried to serve two masters, and it is just not possible. You can seem to do it for a while, but you cannot keep that up. What makes you think that you can serve two masters when Jesus says, no man can serve two masters? Judas is a warning to us of the foolishness of trying to have any other master alongside the Lord Jesus. It cannot be done. The message of the life of Judas also shows us clearly that there was no joy in betrayal. Matthew 27 tells us what took place the morning after Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus. He was seized, we're told, with remorse. He returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests, and he says, I have betrayed innocent blood. And they told him, well, that's your responsibility. And Judas threw the money into the temple, and he left, and he went away. And he didn't do what Peter did. Peter wept bitterly when he saw his sin, and he repented of his sin. But Judas went away and hanged himself. The 30 silver coins brought him no joy. Even the next day, he was filled with regret. He saw things differently. He had no pleasure in what his other master gave him. And his conscience wouldn't allow him to keep hold of that money. He couldn't live with himself after what he had done. He couldn't have any self-respect after betraying the Lord Jesus. And the thing that seemed so appealing, the thing that seemed so attractive to him, one day when he didn't have it, the next day when he does have it, it's an appalling thing to him. And he wants rid of it. That's the way the devil fools us. And he leads us into looking upon things and seeing how good they are and how great it would be to have those things, to achieve those things. And then when they're in our hands, we see them for what they really are. And Judas saw the money for what it really was. And that's always the way it is when someone abandons Jesus Christ for some other master. What seems so appealing becomes a filthy, disgraceful thing. Jesus rightly says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, Judas didn't gain the whole world, but he did lose his own soul. No one ever turns their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ and finds a better way to live and a better master to serve. there will be many things in which we will be tempted. There will be many things that will be promised to us. But if they are at the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ, those things will cost us our very soul. And if we reject Christ in favor of other things, we have to live with that in this world and live without him in the eternal age to come. Judas Iscariot is a character who stands before us in the scriptures as a clear and powerful warning. The only lesson that's of any value to us in considering the life of Judas is to make sure that we don't follow his example, that we don't follow in his footsteps. At different times in my life, I have seen people who were seemingly followers of the Lord Jesus turn away and follow him no more. People have walked out on Christ. They've turned away from the company of the Lord's people, and they've chosen something else instead. In some cases, it's been a relationship, and there's been an unwillingness to give up that relationship. The relationship required a cutting off the company of the Lord's people in order to choose the company of someone who wasn't belonging to the Lord. Other people have given up Christian things for their work, chosen to pursue that path of success and promotion, and it meant leaving behind the things of God. For different people, it's been different masters that they've chosen to follow instead of Jesus Christ. And those people today have more time in their hands than we have. They're free. They can do whatever they want. They're not tied to times when they come to the place of worship. But they haven't gained. They have lost. They find no real joy in the things that they've exchanged, the things that they've bought into instead of following Jesus Christ. And they'll never have a clear conscience about that choice that they've made. Ask anyone who has ever chosen between Christ and something else, and they've chosen the something else, ask them, have you found a better way? And they'll not be able to say that they've found a better way. But they'll still persist in that way that they've chosen. Because sin gets a grip upon you. And you can't get out. And that's the danger. Some people feel remorse, like Judas felt remorse. But they don't repent of their sin. And they might even say, if I could go back and do it again, I would do it differently. But today they're not willing to do it differently. And Judas stands as a warning to us to be careful that we don't allow our hearts to love anything in the way that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, have you ever been tempted to abandon our Lord, to abandon the Christian faith, to abandon the church of Jesus Christ? Have you ever felt that maybe life would be a lot easier if I could just walk out on all of this, not have the responsibilities that I have, not feel tied to other people? Well, there is everything to lose, and there's nothing valuable to gain. Don't allow the devil to to fool you that you can take a little break from the Christian faith. And you can come back again in the future. But just give yourself a bit of space. Give yourself a bit of time for yourself. And then you can come back in again. That's the way sometimes gets people to move away from the Lord and they never come back. How do you know you'll ever want to return? Judas didn't want to return. He didn't want to come back and be one of our Lord's disciples. It was simply the case that he hated what he had done. He loathed himself, but he didn't repent of his sin. We must not presume that, well, you can sin today, but you can be forgiven tomorrow. Judas sinned one day, and there was no forgiveness the next day. Hebrews 10, we're told that if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no sacrifice for sins that is left, only a fearful expectation of judgment and of the raging fire that consumes the enemies of God. We can't play with temptation and play with sin. And if the reality is that you've already gone away, well, then you need to come back today. Today you need to come back to Jesus Christ and renew your love, your primary love for him. Tomorrow might be too late. Tomorrow there'll be something else that will grab your attention, and you need to get back to Christ and following him today. Beware of the first seeds of betrayal. Beware of those times when something annoys you. Judas was annoyed when he saw that perfume being wasted. And he didn't deal with that in the way that he needed to deal with that. He needed to see it is my sin that's causing me to be annoyed here. It's not what she has done that's the problem. It's what's in me that's the problem. Beware of those first seeds of betrayal. Judas didn't guard his heart, and soon he was off looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Don't allow things to take root within your soul. Don't think that because of who you are, because of what you have done for Jesus Christ in the past, that you'll be able to stand even if you do commit a sin or two. Judas didn't stand. Judas had done great things as an apostle of Christ. He fell. And he fell forever. We need to remember Judas Iscariot. No man can serve two masters. Jesus Christ is a great master to serve. And we give ourselves to serving him, we'll not have any regrets. We'll not feel that we've wasted our lives. We need to follow the Lord with a whole heart and not trust in ourselves and the strength of our faith to follow Christ, but all the time to look to him, to give us that hold upon him that we need to have, even as he has his hold upon us. Remember Judas Iscariot. Amen.